All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Going to be getting into the John Deere Classic, touching on everything, doing the deep dive for you. Did a core replays video yesterday, so if you guys want to, make sure to check out that. But going to be covering everything you need to know for the John Deere Classic in this video. Let's get into it. But first, let's start out with a recap from last week's slate. So both the good thing and bad thing about last week is that it went as expected. It was the high variance type of week, was able to give out GPP winning content if it was applied, but also there were a lot of missed cuts as well. A lot of top 10 finishes, a lot of random missed cuts as well with Hideki as an example. But if you were someone that did use the ownership leverage and you just built lineups based off of that, you ended up on Adam Hadwin as a top leverage play, who is already the third best ranked play in the 9-to-5 player pool. Then you also probably ended up on Kyle Morikawa, who was the third best leverage ranked play as well. Last week was also a typical, I guess, first round type of event where, you know, there's just trends that occur. This season, for whatever reason, the first round leads have not been hitting. The predictable first round leads have been not hitting. They've been finishing T2. It's just one of the weirdest things. Okay. About 3 months ago, that happened for 2 months straight, where if you just bet on the top 5% of players that were most likely to have the first round lead, you might have been profitable unless you're betting on them to T5. Heck, if we could bet them to finish second, we'd be up a lot. It's just a weird thing where there's been a bunch of random first round leads. And we saw that again last week. That's why I keep kind of echoing. We need to be taking advantage of the T5 bets. BetMGM top 5 bets for first round lead. There's a big edge there. Now, if you guys want to go ahead and just bet top 10 on DraftKings Sportsbook, you can do that as well. Okay, that might be a strategy to go with. And then Ludwig, for that specific example as well, played exactly as expected. He was chalk, which was a little bit strange chalk, especially because Adam Hadwin was lower priced than him and coming out as a top leverage play. It's like frustrating. At the same time, it's a big edge for us, right? Like, if people aren't going to take advantage of the ownership leverage tool as they should be, if the community is going to ignore that stuff, like, we still have a big edge, and that is awesome to me. It's really exciting, honestly. Ludwig coming in a little bit overowned, okay, was expected to have a good first round, kind of a second round as well, but was expected to fall off in the third and fourth round. A lot of people outright bet him, and he was out of shocking ownership. He probably finished a little bit worse than expected. Don't get me wrong there. Probably around a top 20 or so finish was what I was expecting, what the data was expecting. But overall, the results that people got from him, they're satisfied. They should be, right? It was risk-reward-based play. I would say it worked out for them. And then we also finally hit Ricky Fowler as an outright winner. Finally, the Rocket Mortgage Classic went our way. If you guys have been, you know, taking my advice the past 2 years, it was brutal not hitting an outright winner the last 2 years, with having 5 second place finishers the past 2 years prior to this week. And we finally hit Ricky Fowler. That was fun. It was expected. One of my bold calls to start the season was that Ricky Fowler would be back and that he would win. He would play in the final round of a major. It was nice to see that finally come true. It's not shocking, though. This is who Ricky Fowler has been as a player, right? But man, I do want to echo this as well. It is kind of crazy how annoying the AM to PM split has been in terms of, like, the AM wave will go off and the PM wave will struggle. That happened again last week. That better not happen again this week. I'd be so tilted. But enough of last week. Let's go and get into this week. So I'm just going to be covering the top plays in each price point tier as normal, okay? But also do think we should go through kind of the process of the normal video like I typically would. So let's go ahead and start out with the course history. So looking at the players with the best course history, I think it'd be best to look at the golfers that have played this event at least twice. Okay, we got Russell Henley, 11th and 2nd. Great there. Patton Kizzire, okay, 16th and 11th for him. We got Adam Svensson finishing 24th and 18th. Great stuff there. Patrick Rogers, 30th and 23rd. Love that. Ryan Moore, 24th, 2nd, 18th. Lucas Glover, 70th, 1st, 10th. Mark Hubbard, 13th, 41st. Seamus Power, 8th, 61st. Adam Long, 13th, 23rd. 53rd. So pretty good stuff there as a whole. There's a lot of decent data that would suggest that having course experience at this tournament is going to be a key factor. So we want to be looking at that more so, is players that have good course experience. And then do just want to touch on the players that are coming in with the best recent form. We got Denny McCarthy, Russell Henley, Eric Cole, and then probably some of the better value that we're going to get on this slate. Stefan Jaeger, Alex Smalley, maybe KH Lee, Adam Hadwin. Not so much Adam Hadwin in terms of like value, but he's a good play. Mark Hubbard, even coming in off of some bad starts, still coming in with some pretty good form, that should tell us the caliber of field that we have. So it does really fall off after a while there. Let's go and look at stat fit. So for key stats, what we're looking at is going to be ball striking, stroke and approach, birdie or better percentage, wedge scoring actually pops up a decent amount, par four scoring, and stroke and differential. And so we have a decent amount of players that are coming in with small sample sizes into this, just as an FY. So really, I think we kind of start out Dylan Wu, essentially the best staff hit that we have this week. And then Adam Hadwin, Kevin Yu, Russell Henley, Ryan Palmer, Ludwig, Nick Taylor, Stefan Jaeger, Bremlett, Nate Lashley. Okay, those are going to be players that had the full sample size going into it. I think that's where we'd really want to start there. And the reason why we're looking at those key stats is the same reason it typically is, because those are the stats that have led to players successfully playing here. Okay, whether that be making the cut, finishing top five, finishing top 10, or winning. That's why we're looking at the key stats that we're looking at like every other week. And looking at the specialist data, just so you guys can see, these are going to be the players that kind of match the unique characteristics of this week's tournament based off of the course setup. So looking at it, we got Russell Henley, Denny McCarthy, Cage, Lee, Jaeger, Grillo. No shy there, he's played well at this tournament. Peter, the Monday qualifier from last week. Eric Cole, Alex Smalley, Ludwig, Adam Hadwin, Chez Reavy, Seabass. Okay, so lots of interesting names there. Now let's go ahead and get to the top plays in each price point. So looking at the top plays in each price point here, I do think Denny McCarthy is going to be a good play. I think if you end up on him, I'm perfectly fine with that. He does make sense. Coming in with a seventh and a second place finish out of his last three starts, obviously that is something that we like. Looking at his results at this tournament, kind of bad. You know, sixth place finish last year and then two missed cuts. That does worry me a little bit. Not exactly the best staff hit either, ranking out 16th in the field, but he does make up for it a little bit, being the second best specialist in the field. He also is coming in with the best recent form. I get why he's this high priced. I don't really get why he's the highest priced player, especially by the margin that he is. I mean, 10.6 for Denny McCarthy does feel like we're overpaying. Like, it makes so much more sense for Russell Henley, who's really just the ideal play this week, to be the highest priced player. And we are still getting pretty good odds on Russell Henley to win. Like, it's kind of easy to love Russell Henley this week, whereas like Denny McCarthy, even Cameron Young, like other players you kind of have to talk yourself into, where Russell Henley, it's just slapping you in the face. I mean, four straight top 20 finishes, obviously love that. 11th and second place for course history. Stat fit wise, he's going to be the eighth best in the field. Course history wise, fourth best in the field. Best specialist, best pick in the 9-5 model. I mean, there's just real or lack of reasons for us not to really love Russell Henley this week, even at the price tag. Like, it feels like we're getting a discount because he isn't the highest priced player on the slate. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, he is one of those players that the second you start to trust him, he does hurt you. But it just feels like the correct decision this week. I mentioned in my core plays video that I felt like Adam Hadwin and Eric Cole could both be considered as core plays. And I still agree with that. I think they both make a ton of sense. Adam Hadwin, he finished 96th at this event last year, so missed the cut. Besides that, top 10 specialist, top 10 stat fit, and top 10 recent form rank. He's the fifth best pick in the 9-5 model. Obviously coming in off of a second place finish, off of a similar-ish track last week. And so that should mean that he's in for another good week. I mean, if you look at his results, all right, second place finish at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, awesome. Made cut at the US Open for him, that is awesome. And then a 12th place finish at the RBC Canadian Open, great there. Look at the Memorial Tournament, you know, one bad round, not good there. Made the cut the PGA Championship, also something you wouldn't imagine. And then 18T Byron Nelson, good stuff. So like for the most part, he has had a pretty good season, especially recently. So he's a play that does make a lot of sense. You guys end up on him, I get it. I have found myself defaulting to someone like Eric Cole because I feel like the upside is there. If we're playing Eric Cole, we are chasing the upside, okay? And I would argue he's a better play than like Ludwig last week, even at a higher price tag, okay? Eric Cole has shown some upside. He's just had one bad round. If we can eliminate that one bad round out of him, he could easily go out and win, right? We have seen him almost win already this season with that second place finish at the Honda Classic and then 73, round of 73 at the RBC Canadian Open. That hurt. That was his one bad round there. We look at the US Open, one bad round there. We look at the Travelers Championship, one bad round. If he can alleviate that one bad round, and the John Deere Classic is kind of a tournament in which, you know, if you're hitting the ball well, it's tough to find yourself in deep trouble in terms of like really making a mess of things. I mean, sure, you can hit the ball in water and whatnot, but for the most part, as long as you're hitting the ball well, it's not going to challenge you too much. Knock on wood, because I probably just changed him. But all in all, like Eric Cole is a pretty good play. He's one of those players that's trending in the right direction. It just won't be surprising for me to see him win. Seventh best specialist, four straight made cuts. Not the best staff at only 21st in the field, but is coming in the third best recent form. So obviously we like that stuff there for Eric Cole. And I don't mind Taylor Moore as well. He had a weird stretch in there for like five starts in a row, bounced back really well last week, and that's really what we'd probably be chasing there for Taylor Moore if you guys end up on him. I'd be fine with that. Let's go on and get into the next pricing tier. All right, so from there, like, I do think that going with someone like Alex Smalley is just an ideal play, really, at the price tag. If you want to go with a more fair and balanced approach, it does make sense to end up on someone like Alex Smalley, who has made the cut in his last three starts, also had a top 10 finish over his last three starts as well. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a little bit risk-reward, but that's just the nature of the beast this week. That is the tournament that we have. He's finished 16th and 47th at this event. He's coming in as a really an ideal play, top 20 across all the key metrics that we're looking at: specialist data, course history, recent form, and stat fit. Overall, sixth best pick in the 9 to 5 mile. Because of that, I think, you know, if you're trying to go with the fair and balanced build, he makes a ton of sense. But then we could also look at someone like Jaeger, who last week I kind of mentioned, like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of two things happen: we get a really good upside finish out of him, or if he misses the cut. Kind of thankfully, because we were on him, had a top 10 finish. Okay, and I kind of said that because we had saw, like, he had been maybe playing too much, playing at events where he wasn't the best four, I guess. But it was nice to see that top 10 finish. That gives me some encouragement for him this week. I think he makes for a great outright bet. I think he makes for a great core play. Finished 30th at this event last week, or last year. Specialist wise, fourth best specialist, top 12 stat fit, and fourth best recent form in the field. It is tough to find a better play than Jaeger when we are considering price point. I don't know how we don't land on him, really, honestly. So he's someone I'm certainly looking at this week. And then from there, if we're trying to find players in the mid-tier price point here, I do think we could end up on someone like Nick Taylor, who, you know, has had a strange, let's just put it that way. But he has had pretty good results at this tournament, finishing 70th last year, 28th and 33rd. Like, this should be a good course for him. All in all, even with this kind of bad form, it's weird, right? Because he does have a victory, but it is bad form. I mean, you missed three out of your last four cuts. That is bad form. Sure, he caught fire at the RBC Canadian Open, but we can kind of know why, right? Like, that was a tournament in which he just geared up for. It was his national tournament, right? But then prior to that, it had been, you know, pretty good. Like, it just won't be shocking to see him have a good week. Are we going in on it like crazy? No. Okay, this is a GPP only type play. Same thing with someone like Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar definitely been struggling this season, definitely been struggling for the past really calendar year. But if we look at a tournament in which he should be able to play well at, you look at someone like Zach Johnson, someone like Steve Stricker, players that have had some extreme success at this tournament, I would say Matt Kuchar certainly falls into the fold of those players. I guess Lucas Glover would be another perfect example of that, a former winner at this tournament. Matt Kuchar is essentially that play. You know, we're trying to get lucky, a good GPP only type play. So then jumping down into the low tier, I do think Ryan Palmer is going to be a very interesting click. Looking at the recent form, it is pretty solid, especially over the past, like really since May, where he's made four out of his past five cuts. We love to see that. And all those made cuts have been like top 35 or better finishes with a top 10 finish sprinkled in there. He's actually coming in as a top 10 pick in the 9 to 5 mile, which, it, to be honest, does worry me a little bit, but that is kind of the field that we have. We got to find reasons to play players. And I guess the data is also find that reason with Ryan Palmer. We're pretty good specialist, okay? Top 25 in the field, course history wise. One start here where it was 18th place finish 4 years ago. So 35th in course history, ninth best stat fit. Like that. So all in all, like, Ryan Palmer is actually coming in as a pretty good play. I don't mind the idea of playing Chez Reavie as well. I think Chez Reavie is going to be a fine play, but really it's, we got to look at someone like Dylan Wu, where the price just, it kind of lacks logic this week. I'm firmly going to be playing players that are just the correct plays considering the price tag. Like, that is my strategy. Sure, if a player is coming in maybe vastly overowned, I'll rethink about it. But typically speaking, the players that are strong plays don't come in overowned. Heck, sometimes they come in underowned. Dylan Wu has been playing some great golf. He missed a cut in the number at the Travelers Championship. Oh well. Charles Schwab Challenge, you know, plus five, they're terrible. But for the most part, has had some extremely consistent results and some tournaments in which he has found himself in contention. Okay, last week, found himself in contention, fired off a terrible Sunday round. Kind of, oh well, like, at this price tag, and I think that's why we're getting him at this price tag. Honestly, like, both him and Jaeger should probably be $1,000 more expensive, and we probably have to think about it at that point. But considering the price that we're getting on them too, it's just like, they're kind of easy clicks. Like, if it doesn't work out, I'm happy to live with those results, knowing that we played someone that was the correct play given their price tag. I mean, fifth best staff in the field, 21st best specialist, 20th in recent form rank, obviously coming in off of a missed cut just two events ago. That doesn't help out too much. Course history wise, 43rd. He has Illinois ties as well. Like, everything kind of aligns for Dylan Wood to go out and have a great week. He makes for a great outright bet as well. It's just, it's a head scratcher. Okay. Him and Jaeger, pretty big head scratchers. And even like Russell Henley not being the best play, the top play this week, a little bit of a head scratcher there as well. So I feel pretty comfortable going Jaeger and Wu, especially if we're trying to do a balanced build. From there, I don't mind Taurin. Taurin is someone who last year picked up at this exact same time where he started to fire off some good rounds. He picked up in the fall. He is doing that exact same thing this week. He finished sixth at this event last year. Honestly, I could see that happen again. He is a 31st best specialist, which is going to be his best metric data point that we're looking at, but he makes a lot of sense. Kevin Yu, who is someone I was on last week, couldn't really get anything going with the putter. I think he makes a decent amount of sense as a play. You know, he finished even par. Right. The problem with last week is, yes, he didn't play well enough, but even par, it's not terrible. Okay. It wouldn't be shocking to see him have a good week this week as well. He gave himself a bunch of opportunities, just couldn't make a putt. You know, you kind of think he's going to putt better today or this week because of that. And then from there, there's like a bunch of decent plays that we could be on. Nate Lashley, I'm fine with. Lucas Glover, I'm fine with. Carson Young. Those are all decent plays. Like, a bunch of shoulder shrug plays there. And then from there, we go out and get into the value tier, guys. The value tier is terrible this week, but we have some decent ones. Like Grayson Sig made the cut in his last three starts. We like to see that. Obviously, we're not going to have like any ideal plays, but you know, if we're down in this price point range trying to find a good play, he's a play that, you know, makes some sense. 16th place finish at this event last year as well. You know, just a good play. 36th best stat fit, 47th in specialist rank. Like, just a good enough play across the board. Like, if you find yourself at a price point where you're stuck, he's a play that makes sense. You'll know as well kind of that like good enough play. Like, if you're struggling to find a good play down on his price point, you know, 6.8, that's all you have left. Hey, he's a shoulder shrug play. Like, sure, if you end up on him, that's fine. And then really the last player that I want to mention is going to be Bryce Garnett, mostly just due to the fact that he's been playing some good golf. You know, he's typically a guy that has made his career at events like this. These events in which there aren't that many stellar golfers in the field. He ranks out as someone that should be a cut sweat, like not someone we love, but at the same time wouldn't be shocked if he gives us a top 50 place finish. That's really what we're searching for with a play like this. And I just realized I messed up the value graphic below. I'm trying to upgrade the graphics below there in that corner right there. I messed it up. I gotta add in the value tier. Apologies for that. But let's go ahead and get to the core plays. They're gonna be the same core plays as, you know, yesterday's video. Russell Henley just coming in, checking all the boxes, giving his price tag. He's someone that I think we can easily end up on, and I'll show you guys that with the first look build. From there, to me, Stefan Jaeger, it's just gonna be easy click. I was kind of hoping Justin Sub would also be playing this week. He is not, but Jaeger just makes a ton of sense. Just coming in, really checking all the boxes as well. Course history wise, 30th place finish, you know, last year. Love to see that. Fourth best in recent form, top 12 stat fit, good specialist, you know, fourth best in the 95 mile. A player that's just difficult not to love this week. And then Wilbur right there, Alex Smalley as well, not going to be as awesome of a play as some like Stefan Jaeger or Russell Henley, but still, given the price, like, I feel like we are getting a good discount here for a golfer that should be a safe play. He's made the cut in his last two starts at this track, a top 15 specialist. I mean, he's kind of checking all the boxes for what you want to look for in a play this week. And then lastly, looking at Dylan Wu, where the price just doesn't make sense, right? Like, it's just kind of easy click. We can see all the key metric data. I mean, sure, recent form 5, recent form 6, and recent form 9, those are going to be the real big worries there. All in all, great stat fit. Maybe the disappointment of being in contention and having a terrible Sunday round, maybe that's a reason for concern. But other than that, that's like really all that we got. Like, he's a good play. He should play. Maybe playing in Illinois, maybe he puts a little bit too much stress on himself, and we saw what stress does to him, you know, last Sunday being in contention-ish. Maybe that's what it is. But all in all, really strong play. So let's just look at it. Like, if we just play Alex Smalley, Jaeger, Wu, Henley, we still have 7.2 left over. Like, yes, we might have to play one of those value plays that I didn't love too much. And honestly, like, I didn't mention Troy Merritt really as a play. For now, I've been putting him in as a lineup filler, you know, Midwest guy. Played well at the Rocket Mortgage Classic last week. Nothing to suggest that he's going to have a good week. I might be going to the event. I don't know which day. I'm going to try to get there one of the days. I would love to be able to cheer for him. And so there's a little bit of that narrative going in there. But also, I wanted to find a value play. Maybe that's cheap enough to let us be able to afford to pay up for a decent or a better play at 7.8. And then from there, maybe Ryan Palmer, maybe Chez Reavy. For now, I'm going Ryan Palmer. And it's an ugly way to close it out. But that's going to be the nature of the beast this week. That is just what we have in terms of a tournament this week. But that's going to be all for this video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the coverage. If you did, you know what to do. Give a like and subscribe. That does help out the channel. Let's have a good slate this weekend. As always, let's keep cashing.